When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Athletic MBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writers.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show podcast, Basket Buds edition here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm your host, Zach Harper. We got Jay King. We got Trevon Edwards. We got free agency and trade requests. We had James Harden request a trade out of Philadelphia after opting in and deciding I don't want to be married to Daryl Morey anymore. And so he's trying to get himself to the Clippers. We'll see if Daryl Morey wants to acquiesce. Knowing Daryl Morey, it will be a difficult process because that's just how he negotiates. And we saw what happened with Ben Simmons. Obviously, a very different situation in terms of contracts and pressure and leverage and everything. But we know Daryl Morey is fine being uncomfortable for a little bit. And then Damian Lillard finally does it after, I wouldn't say a day of futility on the free agent market for the Portland Trailblazers, because they did re-sign Jeremy Grant to a 5-year, $160 million deal. But Jay, the Dame thing, it's kind of, once they didn't make a move at the draft, once they draft Scoot Henderson, it was kind of, you kind of knew it. And then when you hear like, oh, the plan is to go get Draymond and re-sign Jeremy Grant, it's like, with what money? Where is the flexibility? Like, what? Like, how is that going to happen? So once you knew like that was the plan, it's like, all right, Dame's got to just get this over with.
And on top of that, how are you going to lure Draymond Green away from the Warriors? By, you weren't going to convince him that was a better place to win a title.
Right.
There's no chance that was happening.
Right.
So yeah, this has been a game of chicken for a while. Who was going to blink first? Were the Blazers just going to decide, okay, let's move on, let's tell Dame we're going to trade him? Or was it going to be Dame making the decision himself? And it was Dame. And this has been pretty expected, I think, from a lot of people outside. Despite all the loyalty talk that Dame has said over the years, at some point it just makes sense for both sides to move on. And it was finally that time.
Can I say what my favorite part of the Joe Cronin statement was after the Lillard trade request is when he said, we remain committed to winning. I was like, oh, word? The team that's quit the last two seasons, about halfway through? That commitment to winning? That's what we're doing?
They have been supremely committed to winning in recent years.
Yeah.
So much so that Dame wants out.
So much so that Dame wants out, and they've drafted, what, sixth and third the last 2 years, I think, something like that. So all right, he wants to go to Miami. Brooklyn could be another option in theory. I would assume there're gonna be a flood of teams that want to kick the tires on a Damian Lillard trade, but it sounds like Miami is the most preferred. We had a little politicking through the media saying we're not just gonna trade him to Miami just because he wants to go there. We're gonna do what's best for us. Trey, where's he going? He's going to Miami.
Go to Miami.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it feels like, right? Yeah.
Let's go to Miami, man. Unless we get some type of wild card deal. This is the thing. The Blazers want to do right by Damian Lillard. No question. That's it. And the only reason why they're doing it is just kind of like, look, you're Mr. Blazer. Thank you for all what you've done. And we're going to give you what you want. But then also, we're probably going to get back Tyler Arrow, another player.
Maybe Duncan Robinson player, or Caleb Martin or something like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Tyler Hero's a young bad players. Fit for the Blazers, by the way. Like,
for
just
what?
A bad fit.
For what? Is it a Jordan Poole go to the Wizards? Like, what's the difference?
I'm just saying they already have Anthony Simons. They already have Scoot Henderson.
Simons is going. Simons is next to go. Yeah. Simons next to go. So he's not going to be there.
I wouldn't assume most of these guys are still going to be there a year from now, other than Scoot.
We're basically going to get a Scoot.
Simons is good too.
Shaden Sharp backcourt. We're going to get a Scoot. We're going to get a Shaden Sharp Scoot backcourt. Yeah. We're going to get a veteran Jeremy Grant who's just spending his money, saving money in Portland before
good
he gets shipped out.
Good for him.
And then, you know, from there, this is 2013 all over again. But how much better do you get adding Damian Lillard to your team is the question for me. And if he joins Miami with Bam and Jimmy Butler, they made it to the finals without that type of player, right?
Yeah.
You add him. I do think that they're one of the East favorites, right? Yeah. I don't think that puts them automatically in a bid. I don't think that getting a third star on most teams nowadays will guarantee anything because it's chemistry, it's the bench, it's availability, you know what I mean? As these things go around, and he doesn't have to change colors. He gets to be red and black still.
True. Yeah, the sneakers stay the same.
You know, like it doesn't get too shaky, but yeah, I mean, Dame in the Eastern Conference, cool, I'm with that. I enjoy it, but the Eastern Conference also isn't sweet. You know what I mean? Like, that's another thing. So
yeah, you still got Boston there. You still got Milwaukee. Maybe Philly can finagle some stuff into still
Philly's
being
done.
Highly competitive. It sounds like Joel Embiid is not happy. But here's the thing. Like, you know, you mentioned the depth and the three star thing and everything, especially with this new CBA and the second apron. I think what's interesting about Miami in a case like that, Jay, is like they do have a history of just finding guys on the cheap, right? And we just saw Max Strus go get paid by the Cleveland Cavaliers in a signed trade, 4 years, $63 million. And you can't just like, all right, there's a guy in the G League, put him on the roster, we're good. Like, you got to develop these guys. But Miami would be the team over the next couple of years where, you know, Haywood Highsmith is already kind of in the system. You know, Omer Yurtseven's already in the system. Like, they might have a couple of guys already, and then you keep building with those gems that you keep finding. Assuming Jaime stays with the I'm assuming he stays in this deal. Like, he doesn't go in the deal to Portland, or maybe he does. I don't know. But like, that's a guy, young guy in the system on the cheap. Like, this would be the type of team to kind of navigate just needing to find gems on the cheap.
Yeah, and they've already lost significant talent off the team that made the finals with Gabe Vincent and with Strus. Those were two big pieces for them. How much, if it is them as the Lillard destination, how much will they be able to keep? Will they be able to keep Caleb Martin out of that deal? Will they be able to, like, what does that supporting cast look like? I've already slotted in Haywood Highsmith for like 12 points per game next season.
12 points, maybe defense. Maybe some mentions of like an all defense second team or something. People are just like, you know, you got to consider him.
And at least one playoff series where he shoots 67% from the field.
Yes.
But yeah, it's obviously the Lillard, Jimmy, Bam fit seems perfect. I think.
Yeah.
They needed another guard to add spice to that offense, to help Jimmy with some of the playmaking responsibilities, just to put more stress on the defense. Their offense could run out or just relied on guys like Martin or Vincent to just hit really tough shots sometimes, and that can be unsustainable. And then I think Bam, with a real three-point shooting threat and like an all-NBA guard, could just be unlocked, because I think there's a version of him where he's running to the rim and catching dunks that we haven't really seen, because, like, let's face it, Jimmy's not like the biggest pull-up threat in the league, and you have to guard Dame like just totally differently. So I would love that fit of those three guys. It would be the fit around them and the pieces. But like you said, Miami's better at that than anybody, at just finding guys, cultivating talent. But Joe Cronin, his statement was kind of spicy. His statement was kind of suggested they're not just going to just hand him over to Miami and that they will listen to other offers. So I'm interested to see whether he's serious about that, how much leverage Lillard has here, even with several years left on his deal.
Yeah.
And how much goodwill they have for Lillard to send him where he wants, because I really don't think Miami can build the best package here. Like I'm not in love with Hero.
I think Brooklyn
in love with Hero at that price.
I think for Portland, like, one, they're not good at trades. They're just not. Like, I chronicled it on my day two grades for free agency. Like, you look at everything they sent out. Here, I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna do a little self-promotion here.
Search for yourself.
Yeah, a little search for myself. So here's ultimately what they ended up sending out during this retooling under Joe Cronin. They sent out Norm Powell, Robert Covington, CJ McCollum, Larry Nance Jr., Tony Snell, Gary Payton II after just signing him, and got a return of, they got about 5 extra second round picks. They did get Jeremy Grant, who they just, you know, gave $160 million to. Jabari Walker, maybe Matisse Thybulle if they keep him in free agency. Ryan Rupert and Chris Murray. That's it. Like, they've traded out significant players and gotten back almost nothing other than Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's a great acquisition in that. They used the first round pick they got in one of those deals to flip it to Detroit. But like, they're not good at trading. They are good at drafting, right? Like, they're really good at drafting. Like, Shaedon Sharpe, like, that was not a lock to be a valuable player. Like, that was a bit of a mystery. And then obviously Scoot Henderson is an easy one to do there. But it, like, if I'm the Blazers, if I'm Joe Cronin, I'm trying to get as many draft picks as possible. And then that's where you kind of have to, like, put whatever bias or ill feelings or whatever aside. And like, you just have to, like, all right, Portland, or you say Brooklyn, you got a ton of draft picks you can move. I want them. Like, give them to me. And Dame, you're going to Brooklyn. You get to go play with your buddy Mikal. Like, that, Trey, that's what I would do, but if I'm Portland, but I don't know that doesn't always work out that way.
I could see actually him getting moved to Philly on 3-team and sending James somewhere.
Yeah.
So I just, again, as much as we want to say the obvious, I really don't know anything. I mean, the obvious obviously is pointing to Miami, but I could see Philly being a weird wild card. You know what I mean?
I would love to see Dame and Joel together. That would be fun.
Oh, Joel going. I mean, Dame going to hate that, but
that's fun for me. I don't care if they like.
In the words of Jack, man, the grass is greener, bro.
Why do you think Dame would hate that?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Bro, the style of play he played with Embiid? No. I mean, he has never had a teammate in a caliber of Embiid. Like, the same thing, James thought that was a great idea. They play the same, but they also rely on baiting the refs. Like, it was terrible basketball, bro. So, like, on paper, amazing. I would love it. It would make Sixer fans unbearable and make them feel like they won. But Dame and Pat Beverly on the same team, plus Joel Embiid? What?
But you know, you can't have Pat Beverly there. They'd have to immediately cut him.
Pat Beverly and PJ Tucker are just going to be so much together this year. It's going to be incredible theater. I can't wait.
What about the James Harden trade request? A lot of thoughts that the Clippers are the likely team, but that's in a world where the star has all the leverage. Now, James does have a lot of leverage. Like, he's an expiring contract going into the season. So he could, if he wanted to get real messy with it, he could just say, I'm not re-signing with whatever team trades for me if it's not the Clippers, right? Like, he has leverage in that. And if Philly wants to, you know, kind of say like, no, you're here, like, we'll trade you when we trade you, you got to come play, he could either half-ass it like he did at the end of the Houston run and part of that Brooklyn run, or he could say like, I'm gonna sit out. And the difference between him sitting out and Ben Simmons sitting out, Ben Simmons had 4 years left. James, like, I'm sure doesn't want to give up the money, but if he wants to play hardball, he can do that. And Daryl Morey, we know that he is not someone that's just going to accept whatever is thrown his way in terms of that. Like, he's a very hardline negotiator. And so, Jay, like, what do you think? Do you expect him to be on the Clippers?
I expect him not to be on Philly. But this really is a mixture of two of the guys who have taken kind of the hardest line stance in these negotiations. Mm-hmm. Morey had Ben Simmons disgruntled and just said, all right, Ben, you can not play, and we're going to take time and we're going to find a trade. That's how James Harden ended up in Philly.
Yeah.
James Harden has put on weight. He has gone to...
like, that was a fat suit, man. Come on. He was 30 pounds lighter in a day. Like, something going on there. He was Nutty Professor or something. I don't know.
He has gone on trips. He has done whatever it takes to angle his way out of destinations before. And like, looking at the situation from afar, it's hard to see where Philly comes out of this with even close to equal talent, because for whatever Harden's flaws are, he was very good for most of last season. He had some bad games in the playoffs, but also two gems against Boston. And he's on an expiring deal. He's 35 years old or whatever he is. And he's definitely...
Hold on. He's not 35, is he?
He's definitely shown...
He's turning 35.
No, he's 30. He's 30. He's turning 34 in August. Come on, man. You got him.
He's 88.
But that's a hard 30.
He's born in 88. It is a hard 30.
Yeah. That is a hard 30.
I will say the years of stars being traded for stars are done.
Feels like it, right?
Yeah. And you're not going, in the asking price, the return is not going to be as high. You're going to get some picks. You're going to get some role guys. And maybe a guy that can help, that maybe be a second fiddle.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get like an equal star. Like, you don't get a Paul George back. You don't get these type of players anymore, bro. Like, those days are over. It's about how many picks. You can get them 2027, 2029 picks.
Oh, man, the 27, 29 drafts are going to be just so – the lotteries are going to be stressful, man.
Auto-generated rookies.
But let's talk about the Clippers offer. Like, let's say just – it doesn't include Paul George because
it doesn't, that
would be their idea.
Yeah.
From Philly's standpoint, what over there would be reasonable? And then also for them, this, their thinking now has to be, how do we keep Joel Embiid at least somewhat happy? How do we keep him from asking out at this point? Because things have gotten bad there. He's never gotten out of the second round. He still seems like he's really young because he just kind of got healthy and exploded. He's 29.
That's a hard 29.
30 years old.
That's a hard 29.
And he must feel some real urgency to go on a deep playoff run, to, after winning an MVP, to get something around him that accentuates him. And if Harden's leaving and they're only taking back role players, it's really hard to see that team being a viable contender.
Look, so Norm Powell is going to be there. Like, Nick Nurse loves Norm Powell. So I think that's a lock for him to be in, not just contract wise, but that's probably the highest level player you can get back from the Clippers in this deal. Right. I think you have to demand that Terrence Mann's in it.
Yep.
And then at that point, I think the contracts are about right. Like, maybe you get, you know, some young guy that the Clippers think is, you know, on the roster, and like, maybe someone they want to develop just because you can. You get two firsts, you get pick swaps, you get whatever second round picks you can get. I think that's kind of it. I think that's kind of Trey's point. Like, these are just the deals now for, especially when a team doesn't have the leverage, right? Like
that is an expiring contract.
Yeah, like, that's where Philly doesn't like as hardline. Like, and at a certain point, it might not be up to Daryl Morey. It might be ownership saying, "Get it done." Like, we don't want this around. You know, at that point, what can you do?
The Embiid situation, his thoughts on all of this, so interesting.
Didn't he tweet out like The Watcher or something like that? Like, you know,
great show, by the way.
Sure.
Solid yeah. show. I assume he was just watching TV when he did that.
Right. Or and also,
because he loves being a troll.
It's a real, real bad Keanu Reeves movie, The Watcher. Real bad.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, I did it on. We did it on Cinephile, man.
I was just
going
to say, I'll have
check
to
it out.
To the Cinephile
yeah, we
podcast.
Did it. Oh, I don't know, like a year and a half ago. I think we did The Watcher. Real bad movie. yeah, like Embiid. And this is kind of the thing. Like, we can transition to free agency. Like, this is the thing with Dallas and Luka, right? Like, you have to get it right, but the bare minimum is you have to show you're trying, right? Like. Whether you think Luka and Kyrie can work in Dallas is probably more about the rest of the roster than it is about them, because they appeared to like kind of dig playing with each other, right? Like, they two really good offensive players that I thought it fit surprisingly well for how quickly it was thrown together. It was a solid team when they were on the court together. They just struggled with depth and everything. But like, we're already hearing people say, hey, they're going to have to, you know, they got to worry about keeping Luka happy. Got to worry about keeping Luka happy. And that's true. You can't let that go too long. But Kyrie, you know, re-signing for 3 years, 126. I kind of agree with some of the reaction. Like, who are you negotiating against to get the player option, right? It's not about the year or the years of the money. Like, 3 years, 126. That's a good deal for a star guard. All the problems, but to give the player control of that third year, that's the confusing part. But
to me,
you got the deal done.
At some point, you're negotiating just to keep Kyrie, just to hope to keep Kyrie happy.
Uh-huh.
We've already seen how badly things went in Brooklyn once it became clear that they were at least reluctant to offer him long-term money.
Yeah.
He asked his way out of there. And so from Dallas's standpoint, maybe there wasn't another offer, but you have to try to start this partnership on good terms.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
And if you trade for a loose cannon, and he is a loose cannon,
he is, yeah.
You have to try to make it work. And to me, that was an attempt to get it off on a good start.
Yeah.
And begin on good terms and hopefully keep it going. I don't think it will work. I think there is pain in Dallas's future. Yeah. I think that that combination is destined.
I just think the roster isn't very good, right? Like, I like the Seth Curry. I can't believe Seth Curry only went for like, what was it, 2 years, like $9 million or whatever it was. Like, I can't believe Seth took a discount. I figured his market would be way higher. Like, he gets some of these 14. Yeah,
their defense could be so bad in some of those lineups.
Could be.
My goodness.
It's going to be. Like, there's no covering for that, but. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I look at what Dallas did trying to keep Luka happy. And that's a good point about building that partnership with Kyrie. For Philly, yeah, that Embiid reckoning is probably coming at some point. That's what history tells us. There's not a lot of those guys that stick around long term. I mean, Dame was the one that was a lock to do it. And here we are, right? We're in trade request mode. So Philly's got to figure that out. What was your favorite signing of the weekend, Jay?
Maybe not my favorite signing, but
you think is the best?
I just love what the Pacers have done.
They've done really well.
Bruce Brown, you don't really want to pay him $23 million a year, but the second year is a team option. He can basically be like an expiring contract to trade if you want. And the bigger piece is they didn't really have a power forward last year. They went out and got Obi Toppin, who could have some real upside, but has been hidden behind Julius Randle in New York. They drafted Jairus Walker, who I think just fits really well, brings him tenacity, brings him size in the front court at that power forward position.
Yeah.
And they just got guys who should fit with Tyrese Haliburton. They got athletes. They got high energy guys. they should be awesome in transition. And to do that without really like doing much to their long-term cap space, like still keeping tons of flexibility, I just think they've done really well for themselves. And I love what they're trying to do around Halliburton.
Trey, what was like, maybe not the biggest surprise, but like your favorite move of the last few days?
I think the Lakers did like a very good job. Rob Pelinka's been really hooping. He's been hooping for a minute though. Like, I remember Lakers fans just like, oh, he needs to get canned. What is he doing? Bro, what he's been able to do from trade deadline to free agency, et cetera. I love it. I don't know. Like, I know you guys mentioned the Pacers. Cool, but they forgettable. I seen the hottest take, hotter than the sun today, is Obi Toppin is going to become the next Jermaine O'Neal of the Pacers. I don't know about that.
That they're not even close to the same type of player in any way. Like, that.
But I also want to applaud the Suns for actually getting a roster. Like, they got some decent guys. I don't know if they're gonna like really shake it up, but they got, you know, Kate based job.
Yeah,
you know, Yuta, they added some shooting. They got some defensive guys. You know, you got Chez. They got a couple, you know, guys that can, you know, give you some decent minutes. I still think that they go eight deep, if that, seven at best. But just to have some bodies versus last year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And availability, I think these guys are all durable and capable of playing games. So, I mean, there were some things. That I thought the Bulls, they parked it. They didn't do anything.
I like the Javon Carter signing. I don't know why you give Kobe White $33 million over 3 years if you're giving Javon Carter 19 over three. Like, I know they've got depth issues now at the point guard because of Lonzo. Like, I like Javon Carter.
They're the new Timberwolves.
Yeah, they probably are.
This is the thing. I'm never mad at the players getting paid.
Yeah.
I'm more upset with the GMs that give these guys these bags because, again, Gabe Vincent, I like him. Max Struss, I like him. But I'm not paying them that much.
Like, if Max shoots like he did 2 years ago, it's a good deal. Gabe, I think the interesting thing is, like, would you rather have Gabe Vincent or Dennis Schroeder on this Lakers team? Right? Like, Dennis got 26
I'm gonna take Dennis. I'm gonna take Dennis just because
I take Gabe.
When they put that Laker jersey on, they act like they don't know how to play. it's gonna age like a bad fruit in the bowl next to a rotten fruit. Straight up. I'm telling you now, it's gonna spread.
I think Gabe is steadier than Dennis. I think Dennis's highs are higher, but his lows are way lower. I like what the Lakers did too. I think it's a good point. The only thing I question is the Rui Hachimura deal.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class links were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
He really hasn't played good basketball other than like a couple of months.
He had two good months.
He had good playoff minutes. Like, maybe this is a case of he was in a bad organization and it's tough to, for young guys to develop in bad organizations. He got to a good organization, and here we are, right? Like, this is the type of player. But to me, and look, this is probably going to end up sounding dumb, but I'm just doing it for a thought exercise. If on one hand I get to pay Rui $17 million a year over 3 years to come be that role, or I give someone who, granted, is probably a little broken, but like TJ Warren, the minimum to come do it. Is Rui $16 million a year, or $15 million a year, whatever the difference is in those? Is he $15 million a year better than what someone like a TJ Warren could give you? Maybe. Like, I'm not saying that he's not, but that's my question. Like, was that really the right deal to bring him in? And if it was, fine. But if it wasn't, what are the better options? Could you have done something else with that space?
You got to have a Jokic stopper.
That's true. Yeah, they are
in the West. You yeah. need to have a Jokic stopper.
Before they got swept, they put a scare into those Denver Nuggets in the fourth quarter of a game. They still got waxed. They put a scare. That's a great point.
I agree.
You had a smile on your face as you were waiting for me to give you that space to answer. Yeah. And I was wondering where that was going. That was great.
I agree that Achimura signing could go wrong.
Yeah.
But I also just thought the Austin Reaves extension was great value.
Yeah. Great. I mean, that
deal was great value.
That's so easy for him to overperform. Like,
so easy. And yeah. I was surprised that nobody really lined up a big offer sheet for him. I guess that's because everyone just anticipated the Lakers would match anything regardless. The fact that he ended up going back to them for basically mid-level exception money could be a steal. He was their third best player last season.
Yeah.
He was the third best player on a Western Conference Finals team. As LeBron continues to age, it's easy to envision that Austin Reaves is getting more and more responsibilities, more and more possessions in his hands. And he could be just barely scratching the surface of his talent, especially if he grows more competent with his three-point shooting off the bounce, off the move, everything like that. That could unlock a lot for him and their team.
I was thinking about, this isn't a Laker thing, but you just reminded me. I was thinking about this when we're talking about the Dame Blazer teams. I don't think we can call a team a conference finalist if they get swept. I don't think we can.
They beat the Warriors, though.
Sure.
And granted, it wasn't the real Warriors. It was
a dysfunctional
Warriors team that ended up trading for Chris Paul. They were so upset with the locker room.
Yeah.
But they beat the Warriors. You have to give them respect for knocking off Steph.
That's
Curry.
True. I just look at it as like they got out of the second round, but they didn't go to the third round, if that makes sense. You know, just like the Blazers that year, they went to the conference finals and they got swept by the Warriors. I just don't think it counts. All right. The Rockets. What are they doing? Like, I know there's a certain point where the new CBA, you have to get to the salary floor by day one of the season. It wasn't the case before. It was just, you had to do it by the end of the season. So now you have to get that money up for day one of the regular season. So I get that, but 130 to Fred VanVleet, good for him. Undrafted, makes it through the G League, becomes a contributor on a championship team, becomes an all-star. He's already made like $230 million in his career now, right? Like, just unbelievable story. I'm happy for him. $80 million to Dylan Brooks, when I don't know what they were negotiating against. I don't think the China teams could actually offer that. Like, I don't know where that was coming from. Like, everything I was hearing was like 3 years, 15 a year, right? Like 3 years, 45, 3 years, 50, somewhere in that range. To get 480? Like that. And then like they're just sending guys out. They're bringing in Jacques Landale for eight a year, which I think that's an over. Like, I think he's like a decent backup, but like, he's like eight a year for him. That's a Daniel Tice deal again, where they're just going to move him. Like,
the other part of the Dylan Brooks deal, besides the fact that as good as he is defensively, he's absolutely a minus offensively. Potentially,
he fits into the offensive system.
A really big minus
of just chucking.
He is blocking the minutes of their most talented young guys.
Yeah.
Or several of their most talented young guys.
Yeah.
Thompson, Whitmore, Jalen Green. These are all guys who are going to be vying for minutes against Dylan Brooks, who you have to give minutes to.
Kevin Porter Jr. is still there, right? Like,
Yeah. So I don't know. I still, as bad as that deal is value wise, I think they're going to be okay. I know it's a lot of money for Fred VanVleet, but you're the Houston Rockets. You're not going to get anybody just by offering normal salary.
Right.
And they needed an adult in that room. They needed someone to show those youngsters how to work, to put them in better spots on the court. I think his value both on the locker, in the locker room and on the court is huge to those guys. He makes everything easier for them. He makes everything make more sense for them. And then they're going to be tough. VanVleet is tough. Dylan Brooks, for all his flaws, that is a tough dude who plays hard every single night. And then they have so much athleticism on the wing with Whitmore, with Thompson, with Jabari Smith, with, like, they're just loaded. Tari Eason, they're loaded with long athletes. I think there's an identity there that fits with what Ime Udoka wants to do. He's going to want to switch a lot. He's going to want to play very aggressive defense. Yeah. And they can do that. I think this team's going to be pretty good. I've predicted 40 wins. For the Rockets,
They're not going to sniff 40 wins.
They're the new Kings. The Rockets minute is going to be crazy.
They're not.
The Rockets minute is going to be crazy.
We're not doing a Rock. We're doing a Rockets minute, Trey. I don't know if this is a good idea.
I mean, right now, the Rockets got bigger issues to handle off the court. So I don't know. We're not doing no Rockets minute though.
You guys doubted me with the Kings. By the way, I don't like the Kings offseason.
No, we'll have. I'm going to be a Pacers fan next year. That's my. I picked my team.
Yeah,
because
you know what I mean.
To me, everything went right for the Kings. They were super healthy all year long. I know Sabonis played through an injury, but he played and he was very productive. It didn't really hold him back. They had everything go right. They weren't a real 2 seed or 3 seed or whatever they were. That was because other teams didn't work out. Like the Lakers.
Oh, look to who's me, anti-Kings better than the Kings. Now. All of a sudden, look who's anti-Kings.
I just think they what did a lot. Fraud. They did a lot to lock themselves into a roster that's not the cream of the crop in that conference, that won't be the cream of the crop in that conference.
What's the move they
traded
could have
a first
made?
Round pick just so they could extend Sabonis?
Yeah, that's a mistake. Like that's definitely a mistake there. I don't know. I think there's something to continuity, right? That is a team, a franchise that has never had continuity, and that's a team that's pretty good. Went to a game 7, you know, took 50 from Steph in a game 7 to drop them at home. Like, you know, I don't mind running it back with that team, and you can always move guys down the road. Like, I like the Harrison Barnes deal. Surprisingly, bringing Trey Lyles back is big. Like, which I never thought I would say that. But he's good for them. Like, I think continuity with that team is fine. I don't know if there was a move to truly like pounce, maybe throw a bunch of money at Kuzma and see if that helps you. Like, I don't know. I don't know about that. Before we go, I have to ask you about this because this deal was such a surprise to me that I had to like make sure it wasn't coming from fake accounts. Dante DiVincenzo getting 4 years, $50 million with the Knicks. I'm shocked. Like that's he's a nice player. Don't get me wrong. He's a nice player. He's a solid rotation guard. I would not be giving him more than like $8-9 million a year. And that like you're using almost your full mid-level exception on him. That's crazy to me. I look at the Knicks. Like the way you look at the, I'm like, so you move out Obi Toppin, you don't bring back Derrick Rose. Like I'd rather Derrick Rose on 1 year, $15 million for that team option and just hope he's healthy than Dante over 4 years, 50. That was a crazy deal to me.
Yeah. That's a lot for Dante.
It's a lot,
really,
man.
Just have everyone for Villanova to the point where
just like, hey, were you good at Villanova? Come on in.
They're just going to get rid of Thibodeau and go after Jay Wright.
That's not a bad idea. That's, you know what?
Work out.
If that's the move, I'm in on that. That was just an absolutely crazy deal to me.
Yeah, and he's okay.
Yeah, he's not. Like, he's a nice player. It's not like they signed a bad player. I just think like that's what you got for your essentially your mid level, and you had to get rid of Obi Toppin to do it. Nah, man, that's
crazy. The Toppin situation sounded bad.
It did, absolutely.
That wasn't like we're getting rid of this guy because we don't believe in his talent or anything like that. Right. That was he's not happy behind Julius Randle.
For sure. Maybe don't have Julius Randle at 30 a year. You know, what if that's the idea? I agree. Like, it sounded bad. Wait, maybe just don't have Julius Randle. Maybe send in one of those cap space teams, attach a pick that you've got an abundance of picks now. Maybe do that and get a little breathing room. That's what I would
say. Didn't do anything catastrophic.
Not yet. We're only on day 3.
There's still time.
Yeah, there's still time. All right, that's going to do it. Make sure you're checking out all your free agency and offseason coverage, all your Dame trade coverage, your James Harden coverage right there on The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe to this YouTube channel. You can watch us talk. What is better than that? Make sure you subscribe to The Bounce, a free email newsletter every single morning in your inbox from myself and from Shams Charania. For Trey, for Jay, for Dave DeFore, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked on The Athletic.